is our refuge. Amen? Amen. And strength. Amen. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Anytime you see that word Selah, it was a pause in the song, and they would play maybe an instrument for a moment and let you think about what you just heard. Verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Amen. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, our hearts are thrilled to see a number of young people in our midst this evening. They came here because they want to hear something from the Bible and understand it. And I pray you'd give me the wisdom to preach it that way. Then there are some folks here that have been saved for an awfully long time. But whoever we are, there are times when we're afraid. There are times when we have a need. There are times when we are under attack. Attack from Satan, for example. There are times when the people around us might be dangerous. Lord, tonight, I thank you for these folks, and I pray for each one of them, from the youngest to the oldest. Help me to say only what they can understand and what would be a blessing to them from the Bible. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you have heard me talk about a man that was... He was with me in an army camp that I went to one time back in the 1970s, and his name was Pete Shemansky. He was a lineman on one of the Wisconsin college football teams. He was 6'8" tall. Anybody here 6'8"? Got some guys getting closer, but not there yet. 275 pounds, and it was muscle. And he was Polish, and so he looked mean. Anybody that knew him very well knew he was a teddy bear and he wouldn't hurt anybody, but we didn't let that get out. And when I wanted to go somewhere, the first time I met Pete, the day that we started the camp, they put me in charge of assigning what bunk anybody would be in. And that was kind of nice because I got to pick my bunkmate. And when Pete came in, I thought, that's the guy I want on my team. And so Pete and I were bunkmates for this 6-week camp that we were at there in Kansas. And wherever we went, I knew if Pete was with me, I was safe. In the first place, nobody wanted to mess with him because he was so big and he looked so mean. And then there was some strength to go with that. Now, tonight in this psalm, it's interesting how it begins. And if you look at the little... superscript above verse 1, it says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. And the word Alamoth in the Hebrew has to do with kind of high-pitched tones. Perhaps it was sung by some young women, or it was sung by some people that weren't so strong. It wasn't the big muscular baritone or the bass that would stand up and sing this song. It was folks that were weak. I think all of us would agree, there's times when we're weak, aren't we? Amen. There's some things that are bigger than me. There's some times in my life when I'm in danger and I need strength. I need a tower. I need a refuge. Maybe a family situation. Maybe a loved one who endangers us. Maybe a health situation or all sorts of different things that could hurt us. But the emphasis of the psalm is that in those times when we have a need, in those times when we are afraid, we have a refuge. Amen. And look at the psalm and it will tell you who that is. Look in verse 1. It says, God is our refuge. Now, if you think Pete Shemansky is big, you need to meet God. Amen? Have you met him? Amen. You know what's exciting to me? The young people here, the young ones, maybe they're not that old yet. Maybe they don't know a whole lot. You know, God is willing to be close to them just as he's willing to be close to us that are older. Amen? Amen? The fact is, God provides special protection to children and to young people. God would be, think of David. One of the young men here that's about 15, raise your hand. 15 years old, 14, 15, 16, anybody like that? Bronson, okay? All right, we're going to get Bronson up here, and we're going to put Bronson up against Goliath. Goliath, and I don't remember the statistics as well as I should, 9 feet, 6 inches tall, had we did this in chapel last year. The head of the spear that he used, I think it weighed 15 pounds, and that was nothing to him. He'd pick that thing up and throw it, and you know, you say, well, how can Bronson possibly defeat Goliath? Bronson can't possibly defeat Goliath, but his God can. Amen. How can you, young people, how can you possibly keep yourself safe in a dangerous, wicked, ungodly world? You can't, but God can. Amen? God is our refuge. He is the place that we can run, the tower that we can go into. And the Bible actually uses that language for him. It says he's our refuge. Now, you believe the Bible, right? There's 3 or 4 verses in this psalm that you really need to memorize. And if you come across some hard times in life, you'll tend to want to memorize them. And this is one of the ones that I quote quite a lot. Sometimes I misquote it, but not too bad. It says, God is our refuge and strength. We'll talk about that in a minute, but look at this. A very present help in trouble. Now, there's different kinds of trouble. When you disobey the teacher, when Mrs. Dahlman says be quiet and you don't obey Mrs. Dahlman, you're in trouble. That's your fault. You shouldn't have done that. Okay? I'm not talking about that kind of trouble. But I'm talking about the kind of trouble that comes when you try to do what's right. You say, I want to be faithful to church, and somebody tries to stop you. Or you say, I want to do what God wants me to do, and somebody says, no, you shouldn't do that. Or if somebody tries to injure you, perhaps, or whatever. I don't need to describe trouble. You know what trouble is. And what does it mean to be a very present help? You ever have any situation maybe where you were getting ready to do a job and somebody said, hey, call me when you do that job and I'll come over and help you? The day came to do the job and they were nowhere to be found. God's not like that. We had several times in it. We had a fellow that moved in. Well, it's a good story. There was a man in our church in Maryland. He was a sergeant in the Army. And we were going door to door in his neighborhood. And somebody knocked on his door, and he came to church that Sunday. So then I went to visit him the next week, and when I went into his house, I started talking to him and telling him we were glad he came to church and wanted to get to know him better, and he began to cry. I thought, well, what have I said? And he said this to me. He said, I'm so glad God didn't forget about me. Amen. He was saved. He had been going to church and he stopped and he realized he had forgotten about God, but God hadn't forgotten about him. So he came and he joined our church, he and his wife, and had children, as I recall. But I remember this, he had a flatbed trailer. And there for a while, we had the Odenton Baptist Church Moving Company. It seemed like every time we turned around, somebody was moving. We moved the leaders once, we moved some other people. And he said to me, I never knew Baptists moved this much. This is crazy. But if he knew you needed help, he would be there. And I appreciated him for that. And we had a good relationship with them. He ultimately moved back to South Carolina. He's doing great as far as I know. I haven't heard from him in years. But I like somebody that'll be there when you need them. We ought to be that way. But that's the way God is. A very present help. He's not a God who's afar off. He's a God who's near. Amen? So it's not just that you have a refuge. You have a God who's near when trouble comes. And it says He is our strength. We don't have a whole lot of strength, do we? But God is our strength. And He's got all the strength that you could possibly need. And so when we're weak, the Bible says He is strong. Look at verse 2. So He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 1, therefore. Now, He's going to tell you what the result of that is. He says, therefore, and I'm going to rearrange the words just so you understand it, we will not fear. When I was with Pete and we're walking around the streets of Salina, Kansas, I wasn't afraid. You say, Pastor, what if somebody jumped you? Pete would whop them. Well, Pastor, what if somebody tried to hurt you? Pete would stop them. And I just knew that when I was with Pete, I was going to be safe. Folks, when you're with the Lord, you're going to be safe. Amen? I asked you earlier, what is it that you might be afraid of? Now let me ask you this. What or who is bigger? That thing you're afraid of or God? Amen? God's a lot bigger than those things we're afraid of. And God knows how to be there for us. In fact, He promises to be there for us when the trouble comes. And look what He describes here in verse 2. Can you imagine this? He says, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. The closest thing I can think of that might resemble this would be a great volcano. But can you imagine a cataclysmic event to where the very foundations of the earth are shaken and there's rocks flying around and entire mountains are displaced? And by the way, that when the flood came, some of these kind of things happened. But when you see a big thing moving around, you know something, there's danger there. But I'm not just speaking academically here, this is the truth. What's bigger, that or God? By the way, who can move mountains? God can, amen? And so when God's moving mountains, you and I can feel safe because He knows us. The second part of the psalm begins in verse 4. He says, there is a river. And all of a sudden, the scene changes. In scene 1, in those first 3 verses, there's this enormous cataclysm, this storm, this violence, this shaking of the earth and the noise and the horrors of the hurricane, if you will, and all the tragedy. And all of a sudden, it gets quiet. Don't you like to go up into the mountains and listen to the little stream flow by? And by the way, it's cool up there, amen? We appreciate that part of it. So in verse 4, there's a new scene. It's quiet. It's peaceful. He says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Every time I read that verse, I think of something that just kind of touches my heart. We were on staff in a church in Salt Lake City, and one of my sons had learned a song in Sunday school. And he was, at the time, maybe about 2 years old. My wife's back there grinning already. She knows. I'm not going to tell you which son it was. All right? So don't ask my son. My son Tim's moving out here in 2 weeks. Don't mention this to him. He'll get really angry with me, okay? It might have been him. It might have been my other son. Enough said. But he had a hard time pronouncing the word moved. And so here's how he would sing that song. Remember that song? I shall not be moved. Yeah, we ever sing that anymore, Greg? I don't know where to find the music to that even anymore, amen? But at the end of the song, it says, I shall not be moved. But that word moved was just a little too much for his tiny mouth. And so I can see him sitting in his car seat, and we're on the way home from church, and he's singing, "I shall not be moved." And he'd say it real deep and kind of funny, and we would chuckle, and I just got the biggest kick out of that. That's what little children need to know, amen? God can take care of you. Now, this city that he's talking about is Jerusalem, and I want you to know something. Everybody here that's saved, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And when he comes back, if you are saved, the Bible says, and I won't quote the verse to you again, I quote it all the time, but the Bible says you're going to be raptured, you're going to be caught up, is the word the Bible uses. And you're going to join him in the air for 7 years, earth years. And I don't know that time will mean anything to us after we're with the Lord, but we will see what's happening on the earth. For 7 years, the earth is going to go through a period of time. This is a period of judgment. It's a period of correction, and it's called the tribulation. Then at the end of that 7 years, you say, "Pastor, I'm not that old." Well, when the Lord carries you up, you're going to be an adult just like that. Amen. And you're going to be grown. And those of us that are a little bit old, Brother Leo's going to get all the parts to his body back again. Amen. And he's going to be young in his hair. Amen. And we're going to be in a glorified body. And that glorified body doesn't experience illness or pain for all eternity. But anyway, then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth. He's going to defeat his enemies at a place called Armageddon. And he's going to establish a kingdom in Jerusalem. And you and I are going to rule and reign with him as priests and kings. Amen? Amen. Now, you say, "Well, the devil isn't going to like that." I understand that. He can't do a thing about it. Fact of the matter is, in the Revelation, it tells us what's going to happen. For 1,000 years, the devil's going to be cast into a bottomless pit. And Jesus is going to rule the world from Jerusalem the way it ought to be run. There will not be arguments about things like transgender rights. Don't worry about that. There will not be arguments about things like, how do you deal with child molesters? That's not going to be taking place. It's going to be a world that is run properly, and we get to be a part of that. Say, "Pastor, I'm just a young person." Well, walk with the Lord, and you'll be a big part of that. Amen? Amen. So that's what these verses here talk about, is that place of peace, the river, the streams, the holy place, the tabernacles. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved, and God shall help her, and that right early. Now we go to another scene. And this is one of those places where you need a refuge. And I'm reminded of Psalm 2. Don't turn there right now. But I haven't got time to explain that altogether. But in Psalm 2, it talks about this same subject. But it says in verse 6, "The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted." And I suspect that he's describing the end of that 1,000-year reign. Because what's going to happen is, at the end of that 1,000 years, the devil's going to be set free. Folks, the Lord can handle the devil. Amen. Remember those times, like we read about in Matthew, when Jesus came across demons? They had no interest in defying him. They didn't want to be around him. They knew there was a day when they were going to be cast into a lake of fire for all eternity. And they just wanted to be left alone. There's absolute fear and terror in the most dangerous and the most wicked when God's in control. And those demons that came across the Lord Jesus Christ, they were at his bidding. They had no choice in the matter. And there'll be a day when he's going to take care of all those that defy him. Now, you probably know somebody that says, "Oh, I know the Lord. Oh, yeah, I'm saved," but they live a wicked life. I feel sorry for people like that, because they need to understand that they need to really find the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this morning's message was about. But these people here, they were raging. There was a rebellion, the kingdoms of the earth moving. And look at verse 7. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." It doesn't matter what this scene is. whether it's quiet or whether it's raging or whether there's the mountains moving, in the Lord we're safe. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hope you feel that way, because the Bible says you are. All right, let's move on here in verse 8. So now he says, come. He says, come. It's like he's going to give you a little tour here. He wants to show you something. He says, come. Behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. He's talking about the fact that God can bring peace. Now, don't know the older folks here, if any of you have actually been in combat, but you've seen enough, heard enough, read enough to understand how terrible war is. And maybe you've known somebody. When I lived in Carlsbad, New Mexico, back in the 1960s and early 70s, I knew a man that actually was on the Bataan Death March. His name was Bill Brunt. And as he was horribly affected by that, he would not talk about it. His health was affected by it. And if you don't know what the Bataan Death March is, it's a time when a large number of American and British prisoners were taken captive in the Philippines and forced marched about 60 miles, and many of them were killed just because they couldn't keep walking, or because they went to get a drink of water, or because they looked the wrong way or whatever. The cruelty of man is hard to understand. War is a wicked thing. God's going to bring peace. When he rules the world and everybody in it is in agreement with him, there'll be no need for war. Amen? And he's going to defeat all those that oppose him. And that's kind of the picture there in verse 8 and verse 9. Sort of like you can see as we go through the psalm, God dealing with things that might cause us to be afraid or might cause us to be in danger. So now we come to verse 10 and 11 and we'll be done. Look at verse 10 with me. And again, this is another good verse to memorize. He says, be still and know that I am God. You remember, there were times when, back in the book of Exodus, and then other times in Joshua, when Israel was fighting battles against the enemies of God, and they would go up against an enemy army, and there were times when they would fight and win the battle, and then there were times when God said, just stay put, I'll take care of it. Like Jericho, for example. They walked around the city, and God collapsed the walls. Now, in this place, in this psalm, in this time of fear, in this time of refuge, you're in the Lord and you're safe. And whatever horrible things are happening outside don't matter. You're in the Lord and you're safe. And then he says to you, be still. Don't we tend to want to get busy and do something? I want to fix this problem. I want to solve this. I want to deal with this. And I want to use my resources or whatever. I like this verse because God in this case says, be still. Just sit there. I can take care of it. And he says, and know that I am God. Well, we know he's God. What does that mean? What is God? He's our Savior, amen? But he's our refuge. If you're in God, in that refuge, you're safe. He says, just sit tight. Watch what I can do. Amen? Amen. Now, some young people here. You're going to have some things happen in your life this week. Older folks, perhaps, same thing. Happen in your life this week. Things that come up, problems, opposition, somebody that's not kind to you, or somebody that's going to try to hurt you, or somebody is going to do something that causes you to feel unsafe or to be fearful. And you got to deal with that God's way. But I like it when God says to us, be still. Just stop for a minute and know that I am God. That feels pretty good. To know who he is. To know he's there for us. You know that, right? Someone says, well, Pastor, I don't need God. I can take care of myself. Oh. I wish you'd understand that you can't take care of yourself. Amen? I wish you'd understand that you need God, and he's willing to be needed. He's willing to be there for you. Be still and know that I am God. Now listen to this. He says in verse 10, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. There are a lot of people today that hate God. They hate the idea of God. I've seen some things, some videos of some people that mock God, and they talk about how foolish it is to believe in creation, and they'll say silly things like, if God is who he says he is, then why do bad things happen? The reason bad things happen is because sin's in the world.
That's right, amen.
And there's a remedy for that too, if you'll listen to God. But I don't care who it is that says, I don't need God, or I hate God, or there is no God, or whatever it is. The Bible says this, every knee shall bow, every,
amen.
And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All those people in that religion called Islam that say that Jesus is not the Son of God, they're all going to bow before him and say, you're right and we were wrong. All those people and all those false religions, all those people that have all those false gods and false Jesuses and all the heathen are people that have crazy gods, multiple gods and imaginary gods and silly ideas. They're all going to bow before God. But it's a whole lot better to bow right now, isn't it? Come to him right now and know who he is. So he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And then, again, it's just an echo of verse 7. He says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. In the end of the psalm, we're reminded one more time, when we're in God, we're safe. Amen? Say, Pastor, what about? I don't know. I should have a whiteboard up here and we could put all the whatabouts on it. What about when this happens? What about when that happens? And then in the next column, we would just say, in God we're safe. In God we're safe. In God we're safe. In God we're safe. Amen?
Amen.
Now, does that mean you won't have trials in your life? You remember David? We don't think that he wrote this psalm necessarily, but David, who lived a godly life, had some horrible trials, didn't he? Can you imagine being chased around the country by the king and his army? Did he ever catch David?
Nope.
Can you imagine having your son rebel and try and take the kingdom from you and having to flee from the capital because your son and his army are chasing you, trying to kill you? You ought to read that story sometimes of how God protected David. Did they catch him? Nope. The Bible says, the afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that saved us. That's the God that spared us from hell. But we're not just safe from hell. We're safe right now. And you say, well, Pastor, what about that guy that was a martyr? We really need to do a study sometime in Sunday school in Fox's Book of Martyrs. In fact, I don't know if you've ever, there's different editions of it. It's spelled F-O-X-E is the guy's name, and there's different editions of this book. But it tells stories of all the people that were burned at the stake or beheaded or otherwise killed because they believed in Jesus. And the Bible says it this way. When they beat Paul and Silas and put them in stocks in the prison, they praised the Lord because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Amen.
You may have to suffer. There are suffering in this life. But that doesn't mean you're not safe. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean God can't take care of you or doesn't take care of you. And don't worry about it. If you're afraid of suffering for him, before that time comes, he'll teach you how. But he may never ask that of you. He does ask something from every one of us, the youngest to the oldest. Trust him. Amen? That's what the psalm's all about. I wish we had the music. I shall not be moved. Amen? I remember that song. A very present help in trouble. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Let's all stand and pray, if you would, please.